at its height, while some officers were busily occupied around the guns, while others, gathered together in the square near the church enclosure, were listening to the quartermasters, a man in civilian dress, riding a strange horse, came into sight round the church. The little dun-colored horse, with a good neck and a short tail, came, moving not straight forward, but as it were sideways with a sort of dance step, as though it were being lashed about the legs. When he had reached the officers, the man on his horse took off his hat and said, "His Excellency, Lieutenant General von Rabeck, invites the gentleman to drink tea with him this minute." The horse turned, danced, and retired sideways. The messenger raised his hat once more, and in an instant disappeared with his strange horse behind the church.
"What the devil does it mean?"
grumbled some of the officers, dispersing to their quarters.
"One is sleepy, and here is von Rabeck with his tea. We know what tea means."
The officers of all the six batteries remembered vividly an incident of the previous year, when, during maneuvers, they, together with the officers of a Cossack regiment, were in the same way invited to tea by a count who had an estate in the neighborhood and was a retired army officer. The hospitable and genial count made much of them, fed them, and gave them drink, refused to let them go to their quarters in the village, and made them stay the night. All that, of course, was very nice. Nothing better could be desired, but the worst of it was, the old army officer was so carried away by the pleasure of the young men's company that till sunrise he was telling the officers anecdotes of his glorious past, taking them over the house, showing them expensive pictures, old engravings, rare guns, reading them autograph letters from great people, while the weary and exhausted officers looked and listened, longing for their beds and yawning in their sleeves. When at last their host let them go, it was too late to sleep. Might not this von Rabeck be just such another? Whether he were or not, there was no help for it. The officers changed their uniforms, brushed themselves, and went all together in search of the gentleman's house. In the square by the church, they were told they could get to His Excellency's by the lower path, going down behind the church to the river, going along the bank to the garden, and there an avenue would take them to the house, or by the upper way, straight from the church by the road, which, a half a mile from the village, led right up to His Excellency's granaries. The officers decided to go by the upper way.
"What von Rabeck is it?"
they wondered on the way.
"Surely not the one who was in command of the N Cavalry Division at Plevna?"
"No, that was not von Rabeck, but simply Rabe and no von."
"What lovely weather."
At the first of the granaries, the road divided in two. One branch went straight on and vanished in the evening darkness. The other led to the owner's house on the right. The officers turned to the right and began to speak more softly. On both sides of the road stretched stone granaries with red roofs, heavy and sullen-looking, very much like barracks of a district town. Ahead of them gleamed the windows of the manor house.
"A good omen, gentlemen," said one of the officers. "Our setter is the foremost of all. No doubt he scents game ahead of us."
Lieutenant Lobitko, who was walking in front, a tall and stalwart fellow, though entirely without mustache, he was over 25, yet for some reason there was no sign of hair on his round, well-fed face, renowned in the brigade for his peculiar fecuity for divining the presence of women at a distance, turned round and said,
"Yes, there must be women here. I feel that by instinct."
On the threshold, the officers were met by von Rabeck himself, a comely-looking man of 60 in civilian dress. Shaking hands with his guests, he said that he was very glad and happy to see them, but he begged them earnestly, for God's sake, to excuse him for not asking them to stay the night. Two sisters with their children, some brothers and some neighbors, had come on a visit to him, so that he had not one spare room left. The general shook hands with everyone, made his apologies, and smiled, but it was evident by his face that he was by no means so delighted as their last year's count, and that he had invited the officer simply because, in his opinion, it was a social obligation to do so. And the officers themselves, as they walked up the softly carpeted stairs, as they listened to him...